quarterback class that's expected to be pretty darn good next year. We decided, well, we're just the guys for the job.
Just the guys for the job.
We, every Tuesday during the football season, are going to just kind of do a little checking in on the pulse of the quarterback race in college football based on what guys did. And I went through and I put together, I have eight guys who I've seen through different rankings people think could be under consideration to be first-round draft choices.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep this in mind. This is how historic this might be this coming draft. Since the common draft started in 1967, six quarterbacks have been taken in the first round only twice. So you don't really get six quarterbacks taken very often, twice since 1967. Once was 1983. It was that legendary draft that had, in no particular order, John Elway, Jim Kelly, Todd Blackledge, Kenny O'Brien, Dan Marino, and Tony Eason. But of those six, Marino was the last one taken. And that tells you all you need to know about the science of scouting in the National Football League. Elway, Kelly, Marino, the three best out of that, and Marino was the last of the six taken. And then the last time it happened was in 2024. I mean, it was 2 years ago, two drafts ago. Mm-hmm. And that was six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. And it was Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix. So there's a lot of buzz that a bunch of these guys could be first-round picks next year. And we're going to take a look at them. And you might not even know a couple of these names, but by golly, you will if you listen to us right here on Baskin and Phelps. Let's start with the guy in Columbus, Andy, who everybody had to watch. Arch Manning of the Texas Longhorns.
Okay.
They put up only 7 points against the Buckeyes. He was 17 of 30 for 170 yards. One touchdown, no interceptions.
Yeah.
Or one interception.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. He was playing a really good defense, guys. It was his first start as the starter. Quinn Ewers was the main guy last year, even though Arch started, I think, two games. Sorry, not going to bury him because he had a tough game against Ohio State. Are you?
I'm not either. In fact, if you really want to look at that game upside down a little bit, ask yourself, what happens if Texas got the ball with like two and some change, right?
And he had a chance.
And he comes back and ties the game up at 14. You would have forgot about everything that happened prior to.
Yep.
You'd only remember the fourth quarter.
Yep, I agree.
So he put them in a position. They only lost by a touchdown. These teams are going to probably play again if they reach the playoffs just because the college football committee is going to want them to because the all the storylines and say, remember when the season started with Ohio State and Texas? Now one of those teams will see their season come to an end. Will it be revenge or will the Buckeyes be able to move on in the playoffs? So I can't bury him. There's a million reasons why I can't bury Arch Manning. So there were 6.5 million reasons. You probably shouldn't bury him yet.
I would agree with that. The one thing I'd say, Dano, he makes Kurt Benkert, who used to play for the Packers for a little bit,
quarterback,
came out on social media and said, hey, this dude's shoulder's messed up. Look at the way he's throwing. He said, I guarantee you, they're keeping it quiet. His shoulder's messed up. I thought, well, okay, big speculation on your part. I'll just say this, and I said it on our conference call. It made Andy laugh. The way he throws the football makes it look like Bernie Kosar was throwing straight over the top. This dude throws sidearm like crazy, man.
That's also modern quarterback. They want these guys to throw from all sorts of different arm angles.
I know.
And get that done. That throw that he had in between the safety and the cornerback, though, up the sideline in the fourth quarter there. Yeah, you saw that one, and you were like, okay, I can see the hype.
That was pretty good.
That was a big boy throw.
So keep an eye on Arch Manning. I'm anxious to see what he does moving forward. Mm-hmm. Lenora Sellers, really talented physically from South Carolina. Played against Virginia Tech. Meredith, sorry, they won 24-11. South Carolina did. He didn't have to pass much. 12 of 19, 209 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. He's supposed to be a big-time physical prospect with a lot of upside. And so we'll see if that actually turns out to be the case. But he looked pretty good. I watched a lot of the LSU-Clemson game.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see Cade Klubnik against Garrett Nussmeier.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Klubnik looked eh. And I thought, and I don't mean eh as in bad, just kind of like eh. And I thought Nussmeier made some big time throws, man. He looked good. He was 28 of 38 for 230 and a touchdown, no interceptions. Klubnik, similar, 230 yards on 38 attempts, but he completed only 19 of them. No touchdowns, one interception. Based on one game and one game only, I'd take Nussmeier over Klubnik, but that's one game and one game only.
Interesting game. I thought the same thing. And I watched Nussmeier's dad play at Idaho. So I have this little bit of a vested interest in watching
man crush?
Garrett play. No, it's not a man crush. It's just one of those things.
Dan,
where,
man crush?
Come on, stop.
I don't think he's there yet.
No? I'm not there. No.
We're not there yet.
I do want to see him do well. I don't know if he's a fit for here, but it's interesting. It's interesting.
I have been a Nussmeier fan for a good period of time. I think that dude can sling it anywhere he needs to at any given point. He can read a field really well on top of it. I want to see what the rest of the season looks like for LSU. I am not a Cade Klubnik guy. I haven't really been from the beginning.
He didn't
even
do a whole lot for
last
me.
Year. Yeah. Oh, even watching him last year. And I know that Clemson team was, you know, growing and all of that kind of stuff. And they're, you know, this is their big year and Dabo's all over the place bragging about it. But I've never watched Cade Klubnik and been like, yeah, that's a guy right there.
Yeah, I thought he looked okay. Two other guys here out of the Big Ten. Well, let me rephrase it because God knows everybody's in the Big Ten now. Our guy Drew Aller from Medina was really good for Penn State, but they played Nevada. And the Wolfpack, not exactly a juggernaut. 46-11, Penn State won. Drew didn't play the whole game, but when he played, he was money. 22 of 26, 217, a touchdown, no interceptions. He didn't hurt himself at all.
No.
Did a nice job.
What was his final stat line?
22 of 26.
How many TDs?
One.
Yeah, it didn't seem like any of these.
Well, they didn't need to.
Yeah, keep going.
Aller didn't need to.
I was going to say, of the quarterbacks who were out there, this was, you know, Drew Aller, and then you could throw Lenore Sellers in there, too. No offense to Virginia Tech. But, like, this week one slate was different than every other week one slate because you didn't have, you know, Nussmeier going up against Sister Mary of the Poor and Lonely anyway.
It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
It was kind of clunky.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I thought it was really clunky.
I don't want to jump on Jeff's stats, but I don't. Were there many guys that threw for more that might be on the list that threw for more than one?
There was nobody who made you think, oh my God, that guy was unbelievable.
Did anybody throw for four touchdown passes?
Like, none of the guys that we're looking at here.
Yeah. We're so used to these week ones being like, oh yeah, Arch Manning threw four touchdowns because he went up against
San Angelo State.
Right. He went up against, you know, UTEP. And you're like, well, yeah, you should beat up on UTEP. That's kind of the way this goes.
Another guy who's is not one of the top guys that you're thinking of, Fernando Mendoza of the Indiana Hoosiers. And Fernando Mendoza is a transfer from Cal. And they beat Old Dominion, so that's, you know, what you're talking about there. He was 18 of 31, 193, no touchdowns, no interceptions. But this guy is a big-bodied quarterback who he's like 6'5", big guy, has transferred in, wants to play in the Big Ten, and so there's that. Keep an eye on him at 6'5". Why not? Sam Levitt from Arizona State is a guy that a lot of people think has a lot of skills. And they played Northern Arizona, so that's the kind of team you'd think they would roll, and they did. He was pretty good. 25 of 39, 257, two touchdowns, one interception. And Levitt's a transfer from Michigan State.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yep.
And then
I want to hear your other names then.
Nico Iamaliava.
Yeah, pronounce every letter.
Yeah, I know.
Did you remember stumbling through this during the college football class?
I had it nailed, and then I just looked at it, and I didn't have it nailed anymore.
Jeff, yeah, what's the rule, man?
Iamaliava.
What's the rule?
Iamaliava.
UCLA.
Iamaliava. What's the rule, kids?
He transferred. Say it fast.
Say it loud and say it fast.
There
just
it
go.
Is. Let me do it Baskin style. Ready? Nico Iamaliava.
Amaliva, yeah.
I am Aliava.
Yeah, whatever.
That's his name.
His last name isn't what you do when you announce you're getting up at the third quarter because you got to go to a different party.
I'm Aliva. I'm out of here.
I am Aliava.
Peace out.
Take care, I'm Aliva.
He took himself off the list. UCLA got smoked by Utah 43-10. and Ayam Aliyeva was 11 of 22.
Utah's going to be good this
year. For 136, he had a touchdown and an interception. He did not have a good debut for UCLA. Does it mean he's toast? No, it doesn't mean he's toast. But Ayam Aliyeva, not stellar.
Did you catch any of that game? Did you watch any of that game?
I caught a little bit of it.
It was late Saturday night.
Yeah, I got to go catch up on
it. It was weird because
I got to go watch condensed games.
They played that game at the Rose Bowl, and the Rose Bowl's been redone. The stadium looked really weird.
Seriously?
Yeah, I was like, I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, where's this game at?
It was like against the Constitution.
So let me give you this.
Well, they played after sunset, so nothing's beautiful.
That's a good point.
You know, I'll give you what NFLDraftBuzz.com says on this.
Can I just, guys, to keep an eye on, Jeff, if you don't mind on this?
Go ahead. I got another one, too.
Can we toss the kid from Miami in there?
Carson Beck. That was the other name I was going to throw in, yeah.
I don't know if Carson Beck's the guy that you're going to think about for this draft.
I don't know. He threw two touchdown passes against Notre Dame, and they won.
Yeah, I know, and he's big. I just don't
it's
know.
It's a big win.
I know. And you have any other names? 205
yards. Yeah, I'm not the biggest.
Beck was the big one.
I'm not the biggest Carson Beck fan, but, like, that was...
I figured
that was
we're
an
not
eye opener.
I figured we can't do like 10 or 11 guys in this, or it's going to be just even more mundane and boring as it already is.
I feel like this turns into like the honorable mentions after a little bit.
Yeah.
I want to put Florida State's quarterback in there. I want to see more of him.
Okay. Well, by golly, if he keeps playing well, we might do that. Fearless Leader says Beck is a day 3 pick.
I'm not the biggest.
That's my point, Fearless
Leader. Yeah, but why can't we keep an eye on him? No one's saying that.
Yeah, I feel like it's like
an honorable mention. Well, we can, but we're going to keep an eye on 30 guys? I thought we'd kind of limit it to like 5, 6 and have a couple of guys on the fringe.
You pick 3, I'll pick 3, you pick 3, that's 9. Yeah, why do we have to argue this on the air? Come on, man.
So get with the program.
So as I was going to say, NFLDraftBuzz.com ranked them after their first games.
What would they say? By the way,
number one,
Fearless Leader doesn't like Notre Dame, sure.
Number one, Arch Manning. Number 2, Garrett Nussmeier.
Really?
Number 3, Cade Klubnik. Number 4, Lenora Sellers. And number 5, Drew Aller. Followed by Leavitt and Mendoza. And then Beck. And then Ayam Aliyeva. So there you go. All right?
Yeah, I don't know that I have Arch Manning at number 1 after that week.
I still have Arch Manning
and
at number 1.
Despite the fact that you think Carson Beck is a day 3 pick there, Fearless Leader, I thought Beck looked better than Manning did.
I probably would put Nussmeier at 1, but that's also coming in with preconceived notions.
Okay.
Anyhow, Arch Manning's still up there for me until we see.
I don't want to kill the kid, but I don't think he looked like the best quarterback in the.
It was number one. It was number one. No, he wasn't, but that's not the best quarterback of the weekend. We're talking about who's going to be the best quarterback when he gets to the NFL. That's what this is about. It's not like, oh, you had a great game against San Angelo State. It's who is looking like the guy that the Browns might want to go
like
for.
Like I said, I think the criticism of Arch Manning is way too heavy after week one, but I don't think he's the best quarterback in college football right now.
Of course, Andy was rooming with Nussmeier's dad in Montana, so take that for what you want.
All right.
Anyhow, that's where smart. That is. And they're taking one next year, you know. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.